another miracle, which is, that's not public, that was done with his disciples, and that one was done after he was risen from the dead. And that is found in John 21, and read from 1 through 14, and you'll get that one. That was the one with the fishes. So yes, tonight we're going to do John chapter 1. We're going to look into that. The first one is the miracle of the turning water into wine. But just before I do that, I just want to say a couple of things about the book of John, which I've written down here. John's Gospel presents Jesus Christ as the light of the world. His Gospel is very easy to read. I'd say millions of the New Testament John has gone over through the world and beyond. And it has encouraged believers to walk closer with the Lord. John is a scripture that is very easy to read. And if you read it, you will see how challenging these scriptures are. So it's good that we are here tonight. Tom was slated to do tonight, but Tom is and Jerry's at the workers' as a elders' conference, and so I am here to do the little that the Lord has done for me or laid on my heart. So we're going to look at John chapter 2, and we're going to read from verse 1. It's amazing that sometimes you think you know everything, but you never know everything. And so you just have to read and reread and then listen to others as they come up with different suggestions. So John chapter 2, and reading from verse 1, it said, "On the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, 'They have no wine.'" Isn't that a coincidence? You think you go to a wedding, and all of a sudden, I don't care how big that wedding is, you know, it's all provided for. Wedding, you know, wine, and the food. Everything is there, but somehow this one, the wine ran out. And you know, in the scripture, the wine speak of joy, you know. And so you see right away that this picture here, something was wrong here. And you can just imagine when the wine ran out, you know, it's whose fault is it? The maitre d', the head waiter, the, what you call them, the people that take care of the wedding, you know, these are the people that was in charge, the master of ceremony, and so forth. But the groom should know that, you know, there was not enough. Anyway, you go to a wedding, and the wine ran out, or your table had no wine. But the master of ceremony, he wants more wine. And where is he going to get it? He's going to send to the shop to buy it? No, I don't think so. It's too late. And so we see right up front here that the Lord Jesus' mother was there. And when you think of that, you would think of she knows the family because she was the one that brought the news. She either knew the family or she was acquainted with them. And not only that, we see the Lord Jesus Christ, he was invited. And not only him, but his disciples were invited. And so right away, you could say is that it was like a church wedding, a Christian wedding, or somebody who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know. You make that one out for yourself. But anyway, the wine ran out, and the mother of Jesus came up to him and said, "The wine ran out. What's Jesus' return? Let's read it. Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he said to you, do it." You see, his mother, I think, know what the Lord Jesus Christ could do. His mother want, you know, this was a, I think it was a big wedding. And publicly, the Lord hasn't shown nothing great yet. So his mother, I think, was like spurring him along to, yes, show that you're great, you're different. She knows that he was different, but he wants the other people to see that. And so the Lord Jesus Christ kind of rebuked her. Some said rebuked her hard. I would think not hard, but in a gentle manner. Because you see, the Lord Jesus, he came into the world to do the Father's will. And although he was born from this lady, you know, he had a responsibility to show that he was different. And so the mom just went to the servant and said, whatever he said, you do it. That's so much confident she had in him. And verse 6, now there was set there, right where the wedding was keeping, 6 water pots of stones, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And just before we pass there, we see here the water pots. You know, these were being held with water for the Jews, because, you know, when they came in anywhere from the outside, if they were dirty, their hands were dirty, or they touch anything that was unclean, they have to wash before they could come inside. And so that's why these water pots were there. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he looked around, he was going to help these people. But here was a wedding, and, you know, they need wine. And where was he going to get the containers to make this wine? So these pots were right there. You know, the Lord Jesus looked and he said to himself, "These are there. Why not use them? Why not use them?" And he did that. He used what was available. The water pots were there. Some of them were empty, but he tell the servants to fill them up. Verse 7, he said, Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some now out and take to the master of the feast." And they took it. I want to draw your attention to, you know, these 11 verses right here in this little scripture. 11 verses. And I want to draw your attention. I don't know if you notice that it's the servant who are right there in the middle of the story. The servant. And 5 of these verses, you have 11 verses, 5 of these verses are dealt with the servants. And I look into it, I was reading and I said, well, that's talking about us. You know, the Lord save us for service. You know, you could put the turning of water into many ways and many, many other things that you can think of. But I was thinking definitely of a servant and us individually. We are saved to serve. And so the servants were there and they did what was asked of them. First of all, her mom said to them, "Whatever he said, do it." And then Jesus himself speak to them. And he said, what? Fill the water pots with water. And they did that. So then I think again, and I said, well, you know, this is what the Lord has done for us. He saved us, and he asks us to do the work that he gives us to do. What's the work? To encourage others? To show others the way? To lead them to Christ? Verse 8, and he said to them, draw some out now, and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. And the master of the feast, when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servant who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. Now, I draw your attention again to, you know, as Jesus told him to fill the water pots, and they filled it. And then he told him to draw water, or to draw it, and take it to the master of the wedding feast. What time did that water become wine? I think it's instant. As the water went in, it became wine. You see, he was God in himself. And he commanded them, or he gave them an order, and they did it. And then they take the water from the water pot, and then they brought it now to the master of the ceremony. Verse 10 said, and he said to him, every man at the beginning set out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior, you have kept the good wine until now. Yes, because this was the best wine they tasted. They were there at that feast all day, or just about 4 hours, and they drank some wine, but it wasn't good as the last wine that came in, and he didn't know where it came from. So he went to the bridegroom and he said, what happened? Everybody having a wedding, they put out the best first, and then after they put out the inferior stuff, but you put out the inferior stuff first and kept the best for the last. You know, there is a contrast here. If we go back, just flip over to chapter 1 here. Chapter 1 of John. And we're just going to show you what Christ came to do. And verse 17. John chapter 1 and verse 17. We'll come back to that. And it said, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And we just want to think of what Moses did. Moses had the law, and Jesus Christ came with grace and truth. The first miracle that Moses did, he turned water into blood because of the law. And not only that, what intercede after that blood? Death and the devastation because of the law. On the other hand, Jesus Christ came, he brings grace and truth and joy and life everlasting. The miracle that he turned water into wine. Joyous, long-suffering, life everlasting. So there is a contrast. One, we have life, and one, we have death. If you continue to read John, you will see that he deals with a lot of numbers, the number threes and the number seven, and so forth. Three times the Lord wanted to go to Galilee, and three times he wanted to go into Judea. Three times he talked about the Passover, and then seven times the Lord speak of the I am. Seven times again he speak, these things have I spoken unto you. And then there was in chapter 6, 21 times he speak the bread of life. These are not coincident. These are just what was shown here, the dispensation of the aspect of what he did here at the wedding ceremony. On the first day, the two disciples abode with Jesus. And that is in John chapter 1 and verse 39. You know, we just read at the first verse here in chapter 2 at the third day. So we got to bring you from what happened on the first day. Then on the second day, unbelieving Nathanael confessed Jesus Christ as the Son of God and King of Israel. And that is found in John chapter 1, 49. And then the third day, here we have the wedding. What does that mean? The third day indicates the time of Israel's blessings, confession, and restoration. And these are still future, dear ones. These are to come. And if you want to look up that, you can go to Hosea 6 and read 1-2-3. 1-3. That will give you the gist of that. The marriage typifies the restoration relationship of the Lord with Israel. And then we find out that this miracle, spoken of the beginning of miracles here in the last verse here, verse 11, it said, this beginning of signs Jesus did in Canaan of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciple believe in him. The Lord Jesus manifested his glory there by performing this miracle. He turned water into wine. Not only that, he commanded the servant to put the water into the water pots, and then it happened. He didn't say nothing. He didn't have to buy grapes to put it to ferment it. No, he commanded, and it happened. He put water in there, and how came wine. And that is the gist of it there. And I would say now, he manifested his glory by showing this sign, and his disciples believe on him. Yes, they did believe on him, but they believed the more because they saw what he did, and they believe the more in what he has done. Changing water into wine is a sign. This is a miracle with a meaning. It has a superhuman hat with a spiritual meaning. These miracles show that Jesus was indeed the Christ of God. By performing this sign, he manifested his glory. He revealed to man that he was indeed God, manifested in the flesh. And this is why, dear ones, we believe on him. As I said before, I think of this miracle as servant, our service to God. And I see us here, the Lord has saved us, and he has given us something to do day by day. And as a servant always listens to his master. The servant is always attentive. The servant serves his master. The servant is always ready to give an account, to help someone, to do the best for the Lord. The servant is always willing. He will go the extra mile for his master. And last, the servant is always obedient. Obedient. Yes. The Lord Jesus' mother said to them, whatever he said to you, do it. Jesus himself said to them, fill the water pots. They fill it. The Lord Jesus said to them, take the water from the water pots and bring it to the master of ceremony. And they did it. They were right there. They were waiting on orders. And they did it. Dear ones, tonight we have that God still here. And he's ready and willing to help us at all times. But we must be ready for him when he calls us to do service for him. Don't care what we do. You know, it doesn't matter what we do. If we do it unto him, there's a day coming when he will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So we see the miracle. It is a sign and it is a miracle. That's the gist of it. We can leave here tonight and knowing that God does miracles. God cares for us. God will do these things for us. Don't care what situation we are in. You know, sometimes it might not turn out the way we want it. But he knows what's coming. He said he will never leave us or forsake us. And so tonight, as we look through this, you go back home and you can read this for yourself again. And think on these things that I said. And see if they match up with it. Oh, Father and our God, we thank you again for this evening. We thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for these dear ones who have come out to listen to your word. Not me, Father, but to listen to your word. Just thank you that you can encourage our hearts again. And cause again, oh, Father, as we seek to serve you day by day, you might continue to lift us up and to teach us your way. Thank you for the love you have for us. And continue to do, Father. We just pray that you might continue to bless your word as we hear it, as we read it, and give us the victory in your name. We thank you, we praise you, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.